Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and we invite you to call and speak directly with us right now. The number is 844-322-2742. If you're hearing the program at any other time than 3 p.m. Central, you can still get your question to us by voicemail at the same number, and we'll be glad to discuss it as soon as possible on the live Basic Gospel program. Again, in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, friends, because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It's a Wednesday broadcast, so yep. That means Andrew Farley is with us, and I guess we should call this a Wacky Wednesday, Andrew.
Indeed, Bob. I'm excited about it.
Well, Andrew, you know, we've been talking about righteousness all month, and the fact that we've been made righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not something that we earn. It's God's gift to give. It is a life-changing truth to know that we've been credited righteousness, imputed to us, that this righteousness has been imparted to us. It's part of our new heart. It's part of being alive in Jesus Christ. It's a part of this life that we have in Him. And then we go to a passage like in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and most of us know this passage as far as its content regarding the Scripture. It says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. And this phrase, training in righteousness, is really curious to me as to how the Word of God really trains us up so that we can live righteous, upright lives in this present generation. So let's talk about that a little bit. What does it mean to be trained in righteousness?
Yeah, Bob. Well, this is a great passage because a lot of people will also use it to say, hey, we've got to look to the Old Testament law because it says all Scripture. We've got to rebuke people with the Old Testament law because it says all Scripture is useful. And really, when you look at this in context, he's saying that it's useful for teaching, but now what are you going to teach about it? Well, hopefully you're going to teach the same thing that the Apostle Paul taught about the law, that Christians are dead to the law, we're not under the law, Christ is the end of the law for us. So when it comes to training in righteousness, yeah, we're going to look at the Old Testament and glean from it the character of God, the passionate pursuit of God as He chased after those who rebelled against Him. We see the wisdom of God, the power of God. But when it comes to righteousness, that is a New Testament understanding that we need to have. We are righteous through the new covenant, not through the law. We're righteous by faith, not by works. And so while we can say all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, the question is, what are you going to teach about it? I mean, my goodness, you look into Leviticus, it says, no pork for you, no shrimp for you. What are we going to do? We got to take that in context and say, well, wait a minute. I live on this side of the cross. I live on this side of the resurrection. And when it comes to righteousness, I need to have that perspective too. God lives in me in the person of Jesus. He's training me in my righteousness. But that's a faith-based righteousness. It's not a works-based righteousness. And so His Spirit is bearing witness with our spirit as to who we are. He's saying you've got a righteous heart. You've got a new heart. You're made for righteousness. Upright living is your destiny because that's how you're designed from the ground up. So, Bob, I guess I would say you look at Paul's letters, not just this one, but any of them, there's a starting with identity, a starting with God made you righteous as a free gift. And then from there, he says, therefore, because of who you are, because God made you righteous, therefore, put on love, put on compassion, put off bitterness. In other words, wear clothes that fit you as a righteous child of God, and that righteousness was by faith.
Yes, indeed. Well, Andrew, thanks for those insights, and it's exciting to know that God has made us new, and then he is training us and teaching us to live out who we are as children of God in this world of darkness. And boy, doing that, we're going against the current of the world system. We're going against some pretty powerful forces.
Ooh, yeah.
But none of those forces compare to this grace of God that moves us down this path of righteousness that God has placed us on. So this is just exciting for me to see. And the writer of Hebrews goes on to say, you know, when he talks about discipline, that there's this harvest of righteousness. And so we begin to see the results of what God has done in and through us in Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection. And to see that as our reality, boy, that's a big encouragement to each and every one of us. So, Andrew, thanks for those keen insights, Bob.
Absolutely. Thanks to both of you. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis, and we want to make the program available to you, friends. If you're listening to the live broadcast, you can speak directly with two of the finest teachers of grace that I've ever heard, I do believe, Andrew Farley and Bob Christopher. 844-322-2742. That's the number to dial, 844-322-2742. And, friends, you know, we can't do things without you. Your gifts to and through Basic Gospel mean that we can continue producing resources and programming designed to help everyone walk by faith in Jesus Christ every day. If the message you've heard has made a difference in your life, we ask you to help by supporting Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. As we approach the end of July, your support is needed to ensure that we're able to continue proclaiming Jesus and the truth that in him you are right with God. We ask you to go online now to basicgospel.net and make your most generous gift. Again, basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to our phone lines and talk with Greg out in Pine, Arizona. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Bob, Andrew, Bob. Hope you guys are doing fantastic.
Yes, we are. I bet you're doing pretty well yourself.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing great. You know, it's really wonderful to be on the phone with, quite frankly, my two favorite Bible teachers. God has used both of you greatly to help me understand who I am in Jesus Christ, and I can't say thank you enough. I was reading earlier today Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, and it really struck me how he begins that letter. He says, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, I got to thinking, a lot of my fellow believers, or at least a good number, they kind of think, well, you know, I'm okay with Jesus and I'm okay with the Holy Spirit, but God the Father's kind of ticked at me. And yet here we see that we're actually in God the Father in the same sense that we're in Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit. And, of course, John records in chapter 17, Jesus' prayer, and at the end of that prayer, Jesus prays that the same love the Father has for Jesus would be in us. And so I'd like for you guys to kind of talk about how that, I guess the Trinity is all on the same page with us.
Wow, what a great insight there, my friend. First of all, appreciate your encouragement. So glad you called in. And then you're absolutely right. I mean, this is a real gem here, guys, because it starts out by saying to the church in God and in God the Father, to be specific. It kind of reminds me of Colossians 3 when it says that your life is hidden with Christ in God. And then John 14, when Jesus says, anyone who loves me, he says, we will come to them and we will make our house with them. So he's talking about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all of us, we will come and we will make our house in this person. So I always like to say the entire Trinity is pleased to have you. Wherever you go, there's always four of you. You're never alone. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and you. And then, you know, in looking at that Colossians 3 passage, it just It communicates such safety to me, safety and security. Your life is hidden. All right. First of all, the word hidden there, protected, guarded, hidden, enveloped, secure with Christ in God. I mean, there's no safer place. So, you know, Jesus took away our sins. The Holy Spirit knows that. He remembers our sins no more. That's what Hebrews says. It says the Holy Spirit also testifies. Your sins I remember no more. The Father knows what the Son did. The Son knows what the Son did. And the Spirit knows. So I think you're right that we've got a little bit of a mixed message going on in the church today, my friend. We're thinking, okay, Jesus is sweet and kind and nice toward me. And then some people are saying, but the Holy Spirit's really beating me up today. And then others are saying, well, but the Father is so disappointed in me. And I just love this gem that you've brought us from 1 Thessalonians 1, because it's just an incredible reminder that the entire Trinity is on the same page. The finished work of Jesus is highlighted and fully known, and we have a God, three in one, a God, three in one, who is fully for us. He'll never leave us. There's no condemnation. Nothing separates us. And this is three witnesses as to how good we are. We're better off than we could ever imagine. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit agree.
Craig, does that help?
Amen. Yes, that's just beautifully stated, as I knew you guys would do. And I just think it's such a needed message. And I know, Andrew, you have addressed that many times. But I just, when I saw that gem in 1 Thessalonians at the beginning of that letter, I just had to call it in today.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yes, indeed, Greg. You call any time with more keen questions and insights like that. We would greatly appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for calling, Greg. Great to hear from you, brother. Well, Bob and Andrew, a Christian YouTube viewer, that's his name, is Christian, and he had this question. Says, I have a question about the Bema Seat of Judgment and the scriptures about rewards. Just would like some clarification about those verses and the talk about rewards and crowns.
Well, that's a really good question, and one that a lot of people have trouble with. I hear a lot of pastors and ministers go out on radio and various media platforms, and they say, hey, I'm working for rewards. That's why I'm kind of in ministry. That's kind of why I do what I do, so I can be rewarded. I can have a higher place in heaven and be over more things, and something strange about that, isn't there, Andrew? That kind of thinking,
yes.
When you really understand the grace of God.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so we're saved by Jesus, we're secured by Jesus, and then we're going to be working because of jewelry or square footage. I mean, you know, getting a bigger mansion or having more crowns to stack on our heads. I mean, you know, it really is materialism. Whether we realize it or not, we're putting a little God stamp on some earthly materialism when we believe that sort of thing. I understand where it comes from. I mean, the first passage in question would be 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. But then it goes on and it says that some people here apparently are going to be recompensed for their good deeds, if they have any, and then others are going to be recompensed for their bad deeds, which are also known as sins. So I guess I would ask a Christian, any sound-minded believer, do you believe that you're going to be paid back for your sins? Because if you were, the wages of sin is death. And remember, Jesus died. He took the wages. So you're not going to be paid back for your sins. Who is it that will be? Well, of course, it's only the one who rejects Jesus Christ, the one who rejects the gospel message. And so when you see this passage, 2 Corinthians 5, it says we must all appear. That's not talking about just Christians. It's talking about all humans. We must all, as humans, appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And it says so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he's done, whether good or bad. Well, how many good deeds does an unbeliever have? Zero. Well, how many bad deeds does a believer have? Zero, because they've been taken away, forgiven, and forgotten. So what we're seeing here then is that the believer is being rewarded. You say, well, I thought you said there weren't any quantifiable lists of rewards that we're collecting. No, it's not about that. I mean, Jesus says, behold, I'm coming and my reward is with me. Paul calls it the reward of the inheritance. It's never pluralized. It's not about getting 7 or 10 or 20 or 50. No, it's about Jesus Christ. I would ask you, even with the crowns issue, the crown of righteousness. Well, who is your righteousness? The crown of life. Well, who is your life? And hasn't Paul himself used crowns to describe people? He tells the Corinthians, you are my crown. So this word crown can be very misleading if we're not careful. We venture off into an earthly materialism instead of seeing, well, wait a minute, Paul said it's the reward of the inheritance. How do you get an inheritance? By working really hard? No, someone dies and leaves it to you. Well, who is it that died? Jesus died and left you the reward of the inheritance. It's in him. It's about him. So what if Jesus Christ is our reward? Now, that's what it means to be recompensed for those good deeds that, by the way, God prepared in advance for us that we could walk in. So it's no surprise that they happen when he has foreordained every bit of it. And then lastly, I would just say, who is it that's recompensed for their bad deeds? Only the unbeliever. Because why? Well, our sins are forgiven, they're forgotten, they're taken away, removed as far as the east is from the west. So I think it's high time we re-examine what we're teaching there, Bob. You know, there's so many folks out there saying, well, there's one judgment where you barely squeak by, and then there's a second judgment where the Christians really get hammered. And when you look at Revelation, it just doesn't bear out. I mean, Revelation 20 is punishment for unbelievers. Revelation 21 is reward for believers. There is no gray area. We can have confidence in the day of judgment.
Absolutely. And boy, what good news that is. And that's all because we've been made righteous in Christ Jesus. We're right with him as a free gift. And I think when he is revealed in glory and we're going to be there with him, I think the world is going to see us for who we are. It's going to see Jesus for who he is, and they're going to see us for who we are, the righteous ones. That crown is going to be made visible to this world, and that's going to be a glorious revealing, indeed, and that's our hope. That's what we're looking forward to.
Absolutely. So. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Andrew Parley joining Bob Christopher and me, and folks, we're coming up on the 5th anniversary of the release of Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Now, if you've been wondering just where is that abundant life that Jesus promised, well, you're going to find out through the pages of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Order your copy today at basicgospel.net. And find out how the Christian life is really supposed to work. Remember, too, that we're studying through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide on Fridays, so we hope you'll have your copies of both the book and the study guide and be ready to study through it with us on these Friday editions. In-depth studies coming your way every Friday. You can place your order for either or both on our homepage at basicgospel.net. Click the website, basicgospel.net, and you'll find a link right there on the homepage for Simple Gospel, Simply Grace.
Thanks, Bob. I hope many people will take advantage of that 5-year anniversary offer, and we'll get that book and help spread the good news to people. I think one of the easiest ways to share the love of God with somebody is put a resource in their hands.
Yeah.
And they may not read it immediately. It may take months or even years before they open it up, but God will use it. And so get these, pass them out. Let's keep getting the word out that Jesus Christ is alive and that we are a part of this good news story.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that. We had a couple of questions on our YouTube channel, Andrew, about this training in righteousness. So Wayne wants to know if training in righteousness is the same thing as maturing in Christ. And then a follow-up question that a couple of people ask related to that is, how do we sometimes get unstuck when we feel like we're not growing? We just kind of stuck in neutral. How can we get that gear shift into drive and moving forward in this relationship with Christ?
Well, I first of all, I would say that it's about time and truth, and we need both of those, Bob. You know, I understand that we do feel stuck sometimes, but the assurance is that he who began a good work in us is going to carry us on to completion, and just as we received him, we can now walk in him. How did we start? We started by trusting him and saying, he's got this. He's got my salvation. He's got my justification. He's got my sanctification. He's got me. I am okay because of him. So when you wake up every day, then it's the same attitude about spiritual growth. I wake up and I say, Lord Jesus Christ, my growth today is your problem. I'm laying it at your feet. Yes, I'm going to make healthy choices. I'm going to choose you. I'm going to choose truth, not error. There are choices we make, but sometimes I would just say, you know, maybe the enemy fills our heads with a cloudy thought of, I'm not growing anymore, nothing's happening with me, I'm no good to anybody, my life is meaningless, things are too slow right now. And especially with coronavirus going on, this pandemic, many people are stuck at home more than they once were. Sometimes relationships are stressful. We start to think, well, you know, I'm not getting anywhere. And I think what we need to be saying is exactly what 2 Timothy 3 is saying. Wait a minute. No, the scripture that I know is useful for me. It's helpful to me in correcting and training and rebuking. Somebody says, well, is that the same thing as growing? I think it is, because the next verse says, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So this is about getting equipped. Look, we're not talking about logging time in a book in order to tell somebody how many minutes you spent at 4 a.m. doing your quiet time or something like that. Instead, it's about the good food that you're eating, and you can't enjoy the food unless you dig in. So I do believe that it's time and truth and trusting God. That's ultimately what it's all about. And I think the enemy will attack those and say, well, you know, you ought to be more grown up by now, attacking time. Too much time has passed. You ought to be grown up by now. What's wrong with you? What's the matter with you? And, you know, if you really knew the truth, then you would never act like this. You would never mess up. And if you really trusted God, then this wouldn't happen. And so we get this sort of accusatory voice, and we need to recognize, no, no, God has got me. He started this. He's going to finish it. It's about Jesus, 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 all the way from start to finish. Just as I received him, so walk in him.
Yeah. Just one last comment on that, Andrew. That was such a great answer to those questions. But even though we may feel stuck, God is never stuck. And God is always at work. And God is always moving us down this path. So I think when we get our eyes back onto Jesus and realize he's not asleep in the front of the boat, he's actually alive, living in us, and he's doing his thing in and through us, it really calms down the heart and mind, and it gives you that boost of encouragement and that boost of confidence to know that God is completing the work. He is at work in and through us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So let's rejoice in that great news right there.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, everybody, for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. And if you have a Bible question or need for scriptural guidance for a life issue you may be struggling with, you can leave a voicemail for us right now or anytime, as a matter of fact, at 844-322-2742. We'll be glad to hear from you. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Or you can post your on-air question under the radio drop-down menu at basicgospel.net. And friends, please remember that Basic Gospel is listener-supported. We ask your ongoing prayers and support to keep the message of God's unconditional love and grace in Jesus Christ on the air and online. Please help with your gift today at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with our thanks for Andrew for being with us today, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.